Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to our show today. I'm your host, Darlene Willman, and I'm the publisher of Accomplish Magazine and CEO and founder of the U.S. Small Business Conference that's taking place September 10th through 12th in Dallas, Texas. As you know, we feature some amazing guests on our show, and today's guest is absolutely phenomenal. And so without further ado, I'd like to introduce him. Our guest is known as the Chief Dreamer and the world's number one small business guru, according to Inc. magazine. Is the founder of eMyth Worldwide, the most successful small business development firm in the world, with over 70,000 business clients in 145 countries, and the founder and chairman of Michael E. Gerber Companies. Mr. Gerber has published 13 books, including his latest, The Most Successful Small Business in the World, The 10 Principles. His New York Times best-selling book, The E-Myth Revisited, Why Most Small Businesses Don't Work and What to Do About It, appeared on Business Week's bestseller list for 28 consecutive months and was rated the best small business book of all times. Mr. Gerber's latest venture, Michael E. Gerber Companies, has built a treasure trove of rich, original entrepreneurial services, including the Dreaming Room, an entrepreneurial incubator, the Entrepreneur Capital Corporation, a microfinancing for entrepreneurial companies, Certified Capital Advisors, a system for generating new capital out of the operating system of a small business, My Growth Resources, a turnkey growth services for marketing, managing, funding, and improving emerging entrepreneurial ventures, and recently launched Origination. Let me introduce you to Michael E. Gerber. Welcome
Hello.
To our show today.
How are you, darling?
Hello. I'm wonderful.
Thank you.
This is fantastic.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, I'm so excited. I was telling everybody in the world that I was going to be talking to Michael E. Gerber today.
Oh,
and so you're going to be, everybody's like, oh my gosh, you have an interview with him. This is phenomenal. And I'm just beside myself with excitement and can't wait to have our time together.
Thank you. I'll do my very best.
So, you and I had a chance to meet some time ago. I was actually at another conference, and I've just loved you for so long, and you've been a mentor to me, and, I just admire everything that you've put out there, and I always recommend that people read, E-Myth Revisited, and so, again, you've had so many great accomplishments. It's truly an honor to have you here with us today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Well, I thought I would just start and ask you just a few questions and just have an up-close and personal interview with you. Is that okay?
Super. Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic. So tell me, when did you actually decide to actually start your own business and become an entrepreneur?
Well, I never really decided that. I have told this story. In fact, as I speak to you, I think to myself, everybody must have heard these stories all the time if they've ever listened to me. But I was going from one place to another place in my life. I was a carpenter who was going to become a contractor. Prior to being a carpenter, I was a encyclopedia sales manager. Prior to being that, I was a saxophone player, and prior to that, I was a wandering Jew looking for myself. And of course, I've spent most of my life doing that, looking for myself and discovering somebody new, on and on and on, and unfortunately somebody very old. But in the process of this singular transformation and this moving from one place in Southern California to one place in Northern California, we stayed over, my then wife and I, at my brother-in-law's house with my brother-in-law, whose name is still Ace, and his wife, my sister. And Ace owned a small advertising agency. in Silicon Valley, and said to me, you know, I'd really like to introduce you to a client of mine. And he's the CEO of a new startup, a technology startup, and he's having difficulty converting the leads we create as a result of the ads we do on his behalf into sales. And I said, Ace, I have no idea why you'd want me to do that. First of all, I don't know anything about business. And second of all, I have absolutely no understanding whatsoever about technology. So what in the world am I going to do there? And Ace said to me, Michael, trust me, you know more than enough. Just let's go and see what happens. Mm-hmm. So given that that's my nature, let's go see him what happens. I did. I went with Ace to visit Bob, the CEO of this small startup. And Ace said immediately, listen, Bob, this is Michael. Michael, listen, this is Bob. I'm going to take off for an hour. Why don't you guys get to know each other? I'll come back and pick you up. And he did. He walked out. So I'm sitting there with Bob. Bob says to me what you would naturally expect. Well, hi, Michael, and what do you know about my business? And I said, nothing, Bob. And he looked a little dismayed. He said, well, if you don't know anything about my business, what do you know about our product? And I said, less than that, Bob. And he looked even more dismayed because, of course, he's sitting there at the front of the hour thinking, I've got an hour with this guy. What in the hell is going to happen here? So we did what we did. And what we did is we began answering, asking questions. I asked the questions, and he answered them. Now, I started with two assumptions. First of all, I don't know anything about business, and two, he must because he owns one. By the time we were done with that meeting, I discovered, in fact, that the first assumption that I don't know anything about business was false. In fact, I did know something about business. I knew that selling is a system. And I knew that because I'd learned that, and I'd practiced that, and I was really, really, really good at that. And the second assumption I also discovered to be untrue, and that was that Bob didn't know anything about business, and he certainly didn't know that selling is a system. Well, the end product of that was that Bob brought me aboard as a consulting contractor to build a selling system for him.
Wow.
And when Ace picked me up, I told Ace what happened, and Ace says, in the car, what in the world do you know about business? You can't do that. You've never done that before. And I said, Ace, that's what I told you before we even started this. But I discovered something different. I discovered, in fact, that I did know something, and I do know that selling is a system, and I absolutely do believe I know how to build a selling system. That's what I'm going to do. So Bob became my client as well as Ace's. And what we discovered in that process was, in fact, that Ace didn't understand what I did, and that was that the entire organization of a business is a system. And that somebody had to figure it out, because as I began to go from client to client to client to client, doing what I learned how to do, I suddenly realized this was an opportunity beyond anything I'd ever seen before. And I really understood it when I walked into McDonald's, and it came to me. I had this epiphany, this moment of seeing, as I call it, that said to me, so this is what entrepreneurs do. And in fact, wow. I had never been interested in business before that time. So that's what happened. And as a result of that, I finally decided to leave Ace and start my own company. Ace didn't want to have
anything to do with it. Can I ask how old you were at that time? I'm just
curious. I was 42.
When you first started your first business?
Yep, 42 years old.
Really?
So you got to understand, I was a wandering Jew to 42. And essentially, all this time, I am doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it. I am discovering myself. I'm discovering this. I'm discovering that. And when any one of my mother's friends ever said, so how is Michael doing? My mother would say always with his most passionate expression on her face, he's looking for himself. So they would always ask her afterwards, has he found himself yet? And my mother, absolutely was the happiest person in the world to be able to answer that question by saying, finally, yes, he has. And you
can't imagine,
you cannot imagine what an experience it was every single time I wrote a book. I gave a copy to my mother, and my mother would take that book. She would read it completely, and she would endlessly tell others, my son is an author. My son is an author. And all this happened late in my life. But you got to understand that, in fact, Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, didn't do that until he was 52. So people think that this happens to young people. And in fact, the reality is it happens to many, many, many people in their second or third stage of life. The entrepreneur awakens and you suddenly see something you never saw before. And that's the work I'm doing today. I am awakening the entrepreneur within people who never truly understood the difference between somebody who owns a small business and somebody who is a true entrepreneur.
Wow, really love that. You know, I knew in my heart when I was at a very young age that I wanted to have my own company. I wanted to be a business owner. And when you know, when you're going through school and everybody's asking you, Sue, what do you want to be when you grow up, right? Because we all face that.
Yeah.
And I decided at a young age I was going to be a business owner. I'm not sure doing what, but I'm going to own a company someday. And instead, I went to school, went to college, and got the corporate America job and everything. I did everything that I was, you know, kind of told to do, even though in my heart I knew I was going to be a business owner. And I actually launched my company right after 9/11. That's why I have my conference on 9/11, on September 11th.
Wow.
And so that was a big turning point for me in my life where I realized, you know what, I'm spending all this time building and growing somebody else's company, and you know, life isn't getting, you know, any shorter. I'm not getting any younger, and you know, I decided that it was time to take that leap of faith. And
what year
you know,
was that?
Really reach.
That was two.
Right after 9/11. I started a company a few months after that, so it was in 2002. And so that was
and that's this company.
8 years ago. No, gosh, no.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
I was still discovering myself, Michael.
Oh,
I was going through that.
Goodness.
Who
what
am I?
What was the first company?
Oh, the first company I started was a web development company. I thought, you know, the internet was just fascinating to me. I've been surfing the internet since before there was Windows. I was doing it in DOS, you know, days when there was just the black screen and the little C prompt. I was still surfing the internet. I'm like sort of a little bit of a technical guru here, but just secretly. But I thought, you know, having access to the world through the internet and a phone, then I can be in business anywhere.
Right.
And it just was an incredible experience. Of course, it didn't go as smoothly as I had hoped. And, you know, I was wearing all those hats, you know, running a business, as you describe a lot in your books. And, you know, I had to learn, you know, the hard way. And throughout the years, I changed a little bit and I represented some other organizations. And, I've probably started maybe four companies in that 8-year time span. So,
And your
but I'm
new
still company, learning.
Well, of course, we all are. And your new company, I say your new company, I don't know how new it is Accomplish Magazine.
Absolutely, it is fairly new, and it is. It's been a dream of mine for a long time. I always thought someday that I would, you know, have a magazine, and who am I to say that I can start a magazine? But then I thought, why can't I do that? And
right.
I did a lot of research and pulled the trigger and decided, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. And I feel as though this particular magazine, the words of inspiration and, you know, hopefully I'm planting seeds of hope, you know, for a lot of people that, that want to accomplish more, that want to make things happen in their life. And so this was a long-time dream and vision of mine, and I actually blend our radio show into the magazine itself. So it's got a unique format, but again, since I'm a techie, I kind of like that kind of stuff.
Super. So do you do all the techie stuff?
I do some of it. I have learned how to delegate. I have learned how to bring in other people.
That's good. Otherwise, we'll spend this whole time me consulting you.
I know, and I'd love to do that, but I'm here to interview you and share your words of wisdom with the world. And you've accomplished so many things that, you know, I'm not sure exactly where to start with this, but out of all your accomplishments, is there one that really stands above the rest for you?
Well, the one that always stands above the rest is what I'm doing today. So my difficulty is I've written 13 books, and I never read them after I write them. I've recorded an immense amount of stuff, and I never watch what I record or listen to it. I'm always creating something new, and so I would clearly say that the thing that stands out most proudly for me is the E-Myth. The E-Myth is a calling. The E-Myth is more than just a book, nor 13 books. The E-Myth is even more than just a business. The E-Myth is, in fact, the product of a dream, a vision, a purpose, and a mission, which I hope doesn't sound as rhetorical as it might sound in retrospect. But my dream at the very outset of my company, which was not the company it is today, the company, the original company, the first company, which is the same corporation as today, was called the Michael Thomas Corporation. And when we started the Michael Thomas Corporation, I was Michael, he was Thomas. Our dream was to transform the state of small business worldwide. In our office, that first office, I can see that first office today on the walls, red, white, and blue, up by the ceiling, were the words in bold, bringing the dream back to American small business. And we imagined that's what we were there to do. And if we could bring the dream back to American small business, we could bring the dream back to business worldwide, because there was nothing other than American small business leading business and entrepreneurship worldwide at that time, and in fact even today. So that was our calling. That was our dream. Our vision was to invent the McDonald's of small business consulting. So in essence, McDonald's we see as the most successful small business in the world, and of course over 25,000 stores still boldly out there with their golden arches doing their thing and doing their thing better than anyone else has ever learned how to do it, turning a commodity into a real product. And we said that we were going to do that at the Michael Thomas Corporation by creating the Michael Thomas Business Development Program. Had no clue what, in fact, that was going to look like, other than our purpose, which was to transform the state of business owners throughout the world. Nobody, we said, should ever fail in business. There is no reason for failure in business. Not the economy, not the interest rates, not the employment state, not anything or everything that one would look at to say in, today and say this is the worst time in the world to start a small business. Well, actually, in fact, the reverse of that is true. So our purpose was that everybody succeeds. And finally, our mission was very, very simply to invent the system, the business development system that would enable us to teach a relatively unknowledgeable coach. We called them then E-Myth consultants. Well, not at the beginning, because at the beginning they were Michael Thomas consultants. They didn't become eMyth consultants until later when the book came out. And then the company changed from the Michael Thomas Corporation to Gerber Business Development Corporation, and from Gerber Business Development Corporation to the eMyth Academy, and from the eMyth Academy to eMyth Worldwide, which is what it is today, was to invent the system through which a novice, a kid at McDonald's, could effectively deliver this extraordinary result through this extraordinary business development system to any and every small business on the face of this earth for less than the cost of a minimum wage employee. So effectively, we had this very clear picture at the outset, at the very beginning, of what we were there to do. Of course, we had not yet designed the way we were going to do it, but that came next. So that was the clarity of those moments at the very beginning when we started the company, the Michael Thomas Corporation, to transform the state of small business worldwide. We've had over 70,000 clients delivering the eMyth program, the eMyth Mastery program, as we called it later, and to transform the way they think about what they do. So to me, that is the greatest accomplishment. But of course, we're just beginning new companies today that are going to do some things that have never been done before. And of course, eMyth is a story that is still alive and well and thriving. But I've been out of there. I'm not operational there. I don't even engage in conversations there for many other reasons. I'm on to bigger and better things.
I love it. So tell me, in your experience, what was one of the biggest challenges that you had to overcome? Because no one of your stature, no one who has ever reached a level of success has ever done it perfect, you know, or who has never had any kind of obstacle that they faced.
Oh, darling.
Just pick one.
Are you kidding me? I mean, I have made every mistake every one of my clients have made in spades. All you have to do is read eMyth Mastery and get to the subject of money. And in eMyth Mastery, when you get to the subject of money, you immediately understand the horror of the situation, the whole conversation about not understanding money, not understanding how money works, not even being interested in understanding how money works, not understanding what, in fact, I now call the seven essential disciplines for building a world-class company. All of that is stuff I had to learn while doing it ourselves. So we're essentially writing the book on small business while we're building a small business to write that book. And every mistake you could possibly make, I've made. I'm a lousy manager. In many cases, I'm a lousy leader. In many cases, I am brain dead when it comes to things that I absolutely need to understand and know, which essentially makes me stronger in my zealous commitment when I speak to anybody who is in business. I say you can learn every single part of this. The most critical part of this is truly before you ever start your business. Understand, we would have been dead. We would have been out of business 160 times over the 35 years that eMyth Worldwide has been in business. I mean, 167 to 182 times. You name it, we would have been out of business had this not existed. And what existed at the heart of it was the absolute commitment to that dream. In fact, the picture in my mind is as clear today as it was that very first day. I swear to God, nothing has changed. And in fact, business hasn't changed. Yeah, there's the internet. Yeah, there's this. Yeah, there's the economic disaster. Yeah, but nothing has changed whatsoever when you come to think about the essential laws regulating what has to occur for a business to be successful. And so because of that, had we not had a dream, a vision, a purpose, and a mission, we never would have survived. We got through all that because we believed in what we were doing so deeply. I mean, we had such commitment to it, and still do to this very day. And that, I believe, is what every single person who is listening to us right now is missing. That's missing in this picture for most business owners I've ever met and most would-be business owners I've ever met. They don't have a dream. They don't have a vision. They don't have a purpose. They don't have a mission. They don't have that absolutely core commitment that's essential to transform the world. And that's necessary. You can't get there without that. Without that, everything beats you up. Everything. Your people beat you up. The economy beats you up. The bank beats you up. Your customers beat you up. Your clients beat you up. Everybody beats you up. And in fact, because you've got nothing sitting there in your heart and in your mind that is so absolutely rarefied and complete to know I am doing the right thing. I may be missing the right way, but I'll figure that out. I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing the right thing. What I'm here to do is absolutely clear to me. All the rest of it you can figure out. But if you don't have that, that just knocks you from here to there. Everything knocks you from here to there. It's exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting.
Wow. That is just so inspiring. I know that, you know, this radio show is actually going to be available on demand, and it will be a recorded, you know, time together. And I am so going to be playing this over and over again because I love hearing your voice. I love hearing what your words of wisdom. And, you know, I can just tell the passion just really overflows for you. And I always talk about that, you know, to accomplish anything, you really have to have that vision, right? You have to have the dream. You have to know. Without a shadow of a doubt, it doesn't matter. You don't really need to know the how-to, the steps, really. They'll come step by step, but you have to see that long-term, you know, vision. And
well, absolutely. You absolutely have to have that. And you having that, determined to create something that has meaning, I mean, deep, deep meaning, to create something that is transformational, to create something that's scalable, meaning you can grow it, you can grow it, you can grow it. That affirmation is so absolutely essential to starting any kind of company. Without that, what do you got left? The only thing you got left is work. So effectively, to me, money's
never been an issue. Yeah, I think I've created a couple of jobs for myself in the past.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right. I mean, you know, and I'm simply saying, and that's never enough to satisfy somebody who is hungry for the experience of creating something that truly works. So, yeah, that's what it is.
Well, you know, you are definitely a master in business. I mean, you mentor people all over the world. And
I'm just curious.
No,
Darlene,
yes, I do. You may not realize you do.
Yes, I do, but I'm not a master in business. I'm a master creator.
I'm not
a master in business. You don't have to be a master in business. I'm a master creator. The thing I love, the thing I thrill to, is creating something that has life. And I can get masters of everything I need in order to leverage myself to produce the thing that I'm here to produce. If I can imagine it, if I can conceptualize it, if I can see it, then I can create it. And I can create it because I'm capable of going out to find the ones I need and convincing them it is so critical that they take this on. Even if I can't afford to pay them, it is critical. We'll find a way through it. We'll find a way through it. So they will align themselves with me. Now, unfortunately, because we're always on the living edge, always on the edge of everything, and because everything we decide we're going to do is something that has never been done in exactly that way before, obviously I'm always in question. Always in question. And my answer to that being always in question, well, are you sure? Well, are you sure? Well, are you sure? Well, I say, yeah, I'm sure, but I'm crazy. So understand, I'm absolutely a lunatic. I'm absolutely certain, but I couldn't convince you of it other than to say, yes, I am. Why would I be doing this if I were not certain? But there's no rational justification to say that, in fact, we can do what I'm saying we can do. None, other than the fact that it's needed. And if it's needed, and if in fact it's an absolutely essential thing we're designing and divining and deciding to do, then in fact we will find a way to do it. We will create through all of the resistance, through all of the don't knows that exist everywhere you look, we will find our way through that. And in the end, we'll create something that's magical. So I'm not a master of business. I've never been a master of business. I'm simply somebody who is consumed and obsessed with what I see that needs to be done. So I'm not an engineer. I'm not a mechanic. I'm not a manager. I'm none of these things. But I'm saying that nobody needs to be. If, in fact, you truly awaken the entrepreneur within, the creator within, the imagineer, as Walt Disney calls her, within, if you're truly possessed by the need to create something that has exponential impact on the world, you will be able to do that. You will find the people who are able to do that. You will lead the people who are able to do that. And if they're not able to do that, you'll find others who are able to do that. Their job is different than my job. My job is to create. And so I write books, but I'm not a writer. I run a company, but I'm not a manager. I lead an initiative, but in fact, I'm not a leader. I'm none of the things one would expect that I would be, and I readily testify to the fact that I'm not. But get out of my way, because this will be done. Absolutely determined this will be done.
Wow. You know, it just, you made me think about when I created the U.S. Small Business Conference, because I share this with the audience, you know, every once in a while, and let them know that when I put it together, when I was having the dream and the vision and all those things that I wanted to have happen, you know, I had that little voice that said, who are you to do a national conference, you know?
Right.
And I had to overcome that. And I created a success team and brought people into it and said, look, this is my dream. This is my vision. Do you want to be a part of it? And, you know, Michael, everybody showed up. Everybody came from everywhere and said, I can help. I can do this. Let me take over this part of it. And all I really had to do was orchestrate. You know, I didn't really, you know, do the intricate details, even though I created a whole bunch of different things, you know, that came to life. And it was just magical how it all sort of fell into place. Well, it's the next one is in Dallas. Happening on September 11th is the day that I, you know, started it. It was a turning point for me in a couple of occasions on September 11th in my life. But we're actually doing it on September 10th, 11th, and 12th in Dallas. So it's a three-day conference. And, you know, we bring together people of, you know, every walk of life, every person who's in small business. Although
How many
we actually
people will be there?
You know, we actually don't want to have it any more than 300. I personally like to have more intimacy, and we actually have a call for nominations right now for America's Most Influential Business Connector. So I don't look for thousands of people to attend the conference. I look for people that know thousands of people. I'm a connector myself by nature. I've held a ton of different networking events in my career. I write on networking. You know, I'm publishing a book on networking. And, you know, so I like to be with other people that love to give and, you know, want to share, you know, resources and pull together. So, you know, I could target market anybody in small business, but I really decided I'd rather fill a room with people that absolutely love to be a part of an organization or, you know, that have a community or, you know, that have their own tribe sort of thing, you know. So,
right. So you do this once a year.
Yes. So it's just a dream come true, really. And like I said, with me coming out with Accomplished Magazine is just another one of those things on my bucket list, you know. I want to make sure that I get things done and I accomplish a lot.
Wonderful.
I feel like I'm kind of like a little bit of an overachiever, you know. Last year I took on this challenge of writing 100 articles in 100 days. I must have been crazy. And there was actually, I believe it was 120,000 people that were participating in this. And
really?
There was only 364 of us that actually achieved it.
Wow.
So,
amazing.
Yeah, it was a great challenge, you know, I recommend it to anybody. It felt a little bit like I was running a marathon because, you know, I'm out there telling everybody in my network and, you know, I'm such a woman of integrity and whatever I say I'm going to do, I follow through. You know, I've always done that. It doesn't matter what it is. And I was right down to the very end of, you know, the 100 days and I had all these articles still left to write. I thought, I can't do it. I got to throw in the towel. I just got to, you know, face facts. I just can't do it. And I literally locked myself up in my house and told my kids, Mom's going away for a while. And I
literally
just sat there and was banging
did.
Out an article like every, you know, 15, 20 minutes until it was done.
Oh, my
and,
God. And
yeah,
how many
I like,
articles
worked
did you
around
write?
The clock.
How many articles?
It was 100 articles. 100 articles in 100 days was the challenge that we had to
do. Oh, my goodness. And why did you set that challenge?
I'm not sure. I have no idea. I think it was just, it was there, and I wanted to get, you know, my book together, and I kept thinking, well, this would be good exercise. And, you know, I'm really glad I did it. I mean, there's been over 10,000 views to my article so far. And,
wow.
It was well worth doing that exercise, and I always tell people, do it. But it really did feel like I was running a marathon, and everyone in my network was so supportive. You know, every time I would say, okay, I just got done with article, you know, 66 or something, and I'm like, there's only 44 or whatever left to go. I'm like, you
and
know,
all
I don't
on,
know if I can do this.
They're
you
on
know?
Entrepreneurship or they're on leadership?
Some are on networking. Well, most of them are on networking. Some are on referrals,
okay.
On marketing, productivity, time management, all the things that I've experienced while managing a business myself.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I'm going to be spending 3 days a weekend with my wife and Ivan Misner and
mm-hmm.
his wife at Big Bear. He's the founder, as you must know, of BNI.
Oh, I know Ivan Misner. We actually were in a thing together as well. It was the Networking Masters interview series that we were
so
we
you know.
Participated
yes,
in.
Yes, I'm sorry, I mispronounced his name. But when you say networking, what does Ivan do that you aspire to do? Or what does Ivan do that you do not aspire to do? What do you intend to do that BNI does not do? Or is that even a fair question?
You're turning around this interview on me now. You know that, right?
give me a break. I mean, you know, we're two people talking. That's what the deal
is. I know.
Two people
I
talking.
Know.
Right. And if you can get something out of this interview, how extraordinary that would be, other than just listening.
Oh, well, I feel very blessed to have you talking with me. So.
Well, thank you.
You know, I look at what he's created. It's a very powerful organization, and I always support people in, you know, experiencing it. And I've considered starting, you know, my own networking organization. I teach people on how to do networking. I used to hold a lot of seminars and workshops. I've held over 100 networking events in my career, you know. So I do a lot of that, and you know, it's like, do I really want to go out and have an organization like that? And
right. The
U.S. Small Business Conference, I always wanted to have a conference, so I really put my heart and soul into that versus building, you know, something that would have a membership base to it, basically.
Right.
So that's probably one of the things. I mean, eventually I'd like to get to that point. I'm still young. You know, I'm still in that early half. I still have another half a lifetime to go.
Oh, my goodness. You are young. In fact, let me see. What is this? The 17th. In 3 days, the 20th, I have my 74th birthday. And this year, almost absolutely at this moment, is the 25th anniversary of my first e-myth book called, rightly so, The E-Myth, Why Most Small Businesses Don't Work and What to Do About It. So this is a very special year for me. It's year number 74, and it begins a revolution with the new companies that we're creating. And the new companies we're creating are there to actually realize the dream of awakening the entrepreneur within the world in what I call this age of the new entrepreneur, to create companies of meaning. And that's the question. That's the question. Yes, I understand how you make money, but what in the world does your company mean? What's the meaning of what you do? And that's the question we're beginning to ask everyone. And what's fascinating, and it's absolutely fascinating, what their answers are. They don't know. In fact, they've never been asked the question before. And so it's a very, very interesting question. It's a meaningful question. It's an exhilarating conversation because you truly have to delve down deep to understand what in the world are you doing that for? I'm not asking you. I'm simply saying that of anyone, of everyone. So what does it mean? Not how do you make money. Of course, that's important. But what does it mean? So I like to talk about Muhammad Yunus, and I talk about him all the time of late. And Muhammad Yunus, the founder of Grameen Bank and microlending and the winner of the Nobel Prize for Peace, whose dream, unlikely as it might be or sound to those most pragmatic among us, is to eradicate poverty in the world by the year 2050. Now, will he do it? Won't he do it? That's not really the question, because he's really on the way to eradicating poverty in millions upon millions upon millions of impoverished women's lives. And because he has truly taken that on as his dream and figured out how to do that and what's absolutely essential to do that, he has the ability to literally accomplish what he set out to do. It's extraordinary.
Wow. Maybe I need to call him and get him on our show.
Oh, you got to. He's in Bangladesh. But, yes, have you read his book, Banker to the Poor?
Wow. Yeah, I definitely need to get that.
You got to read that book, Banker to the Poor. Okay. You can tell everybody out there after they read all my books, they have to read Muhammad Yunus's book.
Of course. They have to read yours first.
Of course. And then Banker to the Poor, he tells exactly how he achieved the result that he set out to achieve that was completely, completely unlikely when he set out to do it because he had no clue what he was going to do or how he was going to do it. All he had was a dream. He's living in Bangladesh, and millions upon millions of people are dying in a famine. And he's standing there, he's a professor of economics, and he's facing the lie of what he's teaching on the street. And he was called to accomplish this stunning thing that he set out to do without any experience in the world whatsoever, knowledge in the world whatsoever about how to do it. It was completely out of his ken, completely out of his knowing, completely out of his experience, and yet he had to. He absolutely had to. So I'm asking everybody.
Let me ask you, as we're talking about that, because it sounds like, well, a lot of people hold themselves back from, it's the fear. I mean, it's the fear of the unknown, and it's the fear of failure, and
it's the fear of loss.
How do you overcome that? And, I mean, you know, just even simple things like, say, making phone calls and prospecting. I mean, what advice would you give to somebody that is really trying to get over you know, a fear?
Well, the first obvious conversation is you have to continually stop and then start. Do not think about it. Just do. Do not think about it. Just do. It's only one call. It's only one call. It's only one call. Make that call. At the end of that call, make the next call. At the end of that call, make the next call. But as you're working in it, in true e-myth terms, you must work on it. And as you begin to work on what you're doing, that is, begin to transcend what you're doing, you begin to remove yourself from what you're doing to the point where you gain a significantly more objective relationship with what it is you're there to do. You're focusing on results. You're not focusing on work. You're focusing on results, not on work, and the meaning of the results that you're focusing on. So that's the price people pay when they do things that have so little meaning. And understand, I drive that question continuously. What does it mean? What does it mean? What's the importance of that? Why is that so significant that it has to be done? And in fact, if you look at what most people do, there is no significance in what they do. Oh, you can manufacture significance. You can make up significance. But in fact, when you put it into the context of truly significant, most things pale in the face of that. And I'm suggesting when you begin to be involved in that kind of a query, in that kind of a conversation, that in fact, fear is altered considerably. I have a little post-it note on my bathroom mirror which says, I create my way through fear. How do I deal with my fear? I create my way through fear. I create my way through fear. I create my way through fear. And in effect, I am not my fear. My fear is not me. I am a creator. I create my way through fear. I create my way through everything that has the tendency to get in my way, stop me, intrude upon what it is I intend to do. But also, I focus on results, not on work. And these two things, those two components, essentially enable somebody to get beyond all of the stuff that rises up in the wake of what you're attempting to do. The problem with most people who live in fear is they truly don't want to give up their comfort. Mm-hmm. So their need for comfort overwhelms their need for creation, for creating something huge, something extraordinary, something they've never done before. So it's the fear of climbing. The fear of climbing is I might get hurt. Well, yes, I understand. But if, in fact, you don't start climbing, you'll never get beyond where you are. And then comes the question, am I willing to be where I am for the rest of my life?
Wow.
And once you ask that question, you're now confronted with mortality. Am I willing to be where I am for the rest of my life? Am I? And the minute you begin to ask those questions, those big questions, then you come to that, no, I'm not. And if I'm not, what then? And then we begin the process. So it's like that. And
oh, wow.
Anybody who lives a life has to deal with all that. And here we are.
Absolutely.
Talking about all that.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That's very powerful. And I know that I'll be, you know, putting some notes to myself and being able to really put that to use because, you know, there's always something that we fear, especially in, you know, that process of building, you know, your business and your empire or leaving behind your legacy, whatever accomplishment that we're trying to achieve. Let me ask you this, and time is almost up here together, and it's just going so quickly, but I wanted to ask you, with all the 13 books that you've published and you've put out there, Which one would you suggest that someone who is just beginning their business, what one would they start with? Would you think eMyth Revisited, that one, or is there a different one that you think would be the perfect one to start?
You know, I go through that conversation often. There are three books. I'd say to them, there are three books you need to read. And the first of those is the eMyth Revisited, Why Most Small Businesses Don't Work and What to Do About It. The second is Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, how ordinary people can create extraordinary companies without any experience to guide them. And the third book is the most successful small business in the world, The 10 Principles. If they were to read those three books, they will have made a shift. That shift will be a mind shift, a heart shift, an understanding shift of what a business actually is and who the entrepreneur must become in order to have a truly invigorating relationship with the company they create. It's absolutely essential that someone do that. So three books, it's very inexpensive, very, very, very inexpensive, but to not read them is the most expensive thing that could happen to you. Because I meet people every single day of the year, Darlene, who say to me, my God, I wish I'd read your book 10 years ago. I wish I'd known now, after sitting down for a day and a half and reading your book 10 years ago, I can imagine, only begin to imagine, the changes that it would have made. Thank you, you've changed my life. I mean, that's a book. It's just a book. It's just a simple book about why most small businesses don't work and what to do about it. And in fact, over 5 million people have read that book, and I'm saying multi millions more. Problem is, most people who own businesses don't read. And because they don't read, they truly don't understand what they're doing and what they're missing. So you either read the book
reading.
Or listen
I'm constantly
to
reading something.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, Michael. Our time is almost to the end, but I wanted to know, how can our audience connect with you again? What's the best way for them to be a part of your world, your
It's
revolution?
Really, 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 really easy. I do a radio show every morning from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock live. It's called The Michael E. Gerber Show, Big Voices in Small Business. That's one way. And all they need to do to reach me there is call 917-932-8051. That's 917-932-8051. The second thing they can do is come to my website, and that's www.michaelegerber.com. MichaelEGerber.com. The third thing they can do is to express their interest in becoming a Michael E. Gerber partner. And all they need to do to become a Michael E. Gerber partner, to participate in any one of 10 different opportunities, entrepreneurial opportunities, to truly transform the state of what they do, or to invent something new, or to participate as a licensee of mine in any number of ways, and I can describe those all to them, is to email me directly, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, at michaelegerber.com, and we will get back to them immediately to help them to see the options that are available to them today to transform the state of their lives. So, like that, it's really simple.
Wow. Well, Michael, this has been absolutely extraordinary. I am just amazed by our conversation. And again, thank you so much for being here with us today and sharing your knowledge and your words of wisdom with us and all of your major accomplishments and even some of the smaller ones. We're so grateful that you shared that with us. And I just want to remind our audience to pick up your free subscription to Accomplish Magazine just by going to accomplishmagazine.com, and also to visit the U.S. Small Business Conference website, which is ussmallbusinessconference.com. And again, thank you so much for your time and for sharing everything. I definitely will be tuning in more, and we're going to be telling a lot more people, especially we're going to put you in Accomplish Magazine. And I have a little favor to ask.
Yes.
Would you allow me to put you on my front cover of the magazine?
Of course I would.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Yep, a delight.
Listen, Michael, thank you so much.
What you need to do is to contact Luzdelia, Luzdelia, at michaelherber.com, and she'll arrange that with you.
Perfect.
Perfect.
This is fantastic. Thank you
thank
so
you,
much. And I want to wish you an early happy birthday.
Oh, thank
and,
you.
And again, thank you so much. This was just a gift that you've given to me, and I want to share it with the world as well. So
my pleasure. Delight.
Thank you. Have a fantastic day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.